olive tree bed. Penelope sat up in bed and looked out at the empty sea. The sea that had been empty for so long. Fishing boats had filled the bay. Merchant vessels had put into harbour. All kinds of shipping, great and small, had come and gone. But to Penelope, the sea had been empty for nearly 20 years. She put out her hand to the branch of the tree and raised herself slowly up. Such an unusual room. Our secret place, Odysseus had called it. They had just married, and Odysseus was pacing out the lines of what would become their home. His father Laertes, Ithaca's king, made do with little more than the large farmhouse to which he had now retired, but Odysseus, while not a grandiose man, was determined to build with his own hands a fittingly royal residence for his new queen and the many children that would bless their union. He had guided Penelope to a rock and touched a finger to her cheek before turning with a sweep of his arms towards the clearing of scrub, rock, and sandy earth that lay between them and the sea. Behold, the royal palace of Ithaca! He leapt from rock to rock, bringing every room, gallery, and passageway to life. The main hall? The kitchens. I dig down deep here to make storerooms and cellars big enough to hold thousands of barrels of water and wine. A gateway and courtyard here, but there an inner yard, and here, a little higher, once I have chopped down this old tree, our bedchamber. See the view over the bay? Oh, no, cried Penelope. Such a beautiful olive. Must it go? Odysseus chewed his lip and examined the tree more closely. Olives lived to a great age. The limbs of this ancient specimen had twisted and curled like the arms of an octopus. It was too old to bear fruit. He had marked it down as good for carpentry and firewood. Yet again, he reflected, his divine protector, the goddess Athena, had a special connection with the olive tree. Many generations ago, the citizens of Attica's chief city had gathered to choose an Olympian patron. Some wanted Poseidon, god of water and the waves. Others had called for Pallas Athena, goddess of wisdom, weaving, and war. Poseidon sent the citizens a bubbling spring of sweet, clear water, and it seemed that he must win. All Athena could offer was an ugly avenue of olive trees. But the fruit of the olive is good to eat, and can be used to add savour to all kinds of food. The pressings yield an oil of great value, and more uses than can be counted, and the wood of the tree provides an excellent timber. Athena won the competition, and the citizens named their city Athens in her honour. All in all, a better name than Poseidonopolis, I think we can agree. Now that I look, said Odysseus, bending a branch towards him, I see a future for this tree. I believe that with a little ingenuity, we can keep it and build the room around it. I think the tree can be shaped into a great and wonderful bed. It will be our secret place. Penelope was delighted. And perhaps, she said, one of the smaller branches might be shaped into a cradle. A cradle? Well, I suppose. Oh. Oh. Oh, can you mean... Penelope laughed and patted her stomach. Nothing to see yet, but there can be no doubt. Odysseus moved towards her, arms outstretched. The palace will be finished before he is born. Or she. Or she. But Odysseus knew in his heart that it would be a boy. Penelope grasped the olive branch tighter and pulled herself into a standing position. The sea was still empty. She hated herself for staring and staring at it. But the empty sea was easier to face than the full palace, and there was now no longer any purpose in going to sit at her loom. She could hear them below. It was early afternoon, but already they sounded drunk. She strained her eyes towards the bar of haze that separated the blue of the empty sea from the blue of the empty sky.